Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
How did monogamy become popular in our culture? Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. And with me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. And we're going to try and answer that question through the words of Brigham Young. Brigham Young actually said, and this can be found in Volume 9 of the Journal of Discourses, as we continue our study in the Journal of Discourses dealing with the subject of plural marriage. On page 322, he says, "Monogamy, or restrictions by law to one wife, is no part of the economy of heaven among men. Such a system was commenced by the founders of the Roman Empire." So there's your answer to the question, according to Brigham Young. He went on to say, "The scarcity of women gave existence to laws restricting one wife to one man. Rome became the mistress of the world and introduced this order of monogamy wherever her sway was acknowledged. Thus, this monogamic order of marriage, so esteemed by modern Christians as a holy sacrament and divine institution, is nothing but a system established by a set of robbers." That, according to Brigham Young. Notice what he's arguing here. He was saying the scarcity of women gave existence to the laws restricting one wife to one man. Many times when you talk with Latter-day Saints and you ask them, well, why was polygamy necessary in 19th century Mormonism? And they will tell you that there was a surplus of women, and these men needed wives. If you go visit the Beehive House downtown in Salt Lake City, I've had sister missionaries actually say that the reason there was polygamy and that Brigham Young had to take so many wives is because there were a lot of women who lost their husbands during the persecution period. And so basically what they want us to believe is that they changed all their sexual norms to accommodate this. That seems really odd when you consider that during the Civil War there were like 600,000 casualties, and I don't recall anyone trying to introduce a law making it okay for a man to have more than one wife after a loss of that many males. I mean, that I've never heard that before. But that is merely a rumor, folks, even though we hear it all the time. I've mentioned before a statement by John Witzo that is found in Evidences and Reconciliations, and I want to read to you what he actually says on this subject. This is found on page 390, chapter 3, Why Did the Church Practice Plural Marriage in Earlier Days? And this is what he says. "Members of the church, unfamiliar with its history, and many non-members have set up fallacious reasons for the origin of this system of marriage among the Latter-day Saints. The most common of these conjectures is that the church, through plural marriage, sought to provide husbands for its large surplus of female members. The implied assumption in this theory that there have been more females than male members in the church is not supported by existing evidence." He goes on to say the United States Census records from 1850 to 1940 and all available church records uniformly show a preponderance of males in Utah and in the church. Indeed, the excess in Utah has usually been larger than the whole United States, as would be expected in a pioneer state. The births within the church obey the usual population law, a slight excess of males. Orson Pratt, writing in 1853 from direct knowledge of Utah conditions, declares against the opinion that females outnumbered the males in Utah. And he gives the reference to The Seer, page 110. Witzo goes on to conclude this paragraph by saying, "The theory that plural marriage was a consequence of a surplus of female church members fails from lack of evidence. So any Mormon that is using that as an argument certainly is out of bounds when it comes to the historical record. Now, Brigham Young also mentions in this sermon that I was talking about earlier that the Congress of the United States have lately passed a law to punish polygamy in the territories of the United States and in other places over which they have exclusive jurisdiction. What he's referring to, folks, is what was known as the Morrill Act, M-O-R-R-I-L-L, named after Justin Smith Morrill, who at the time this was passed in 1862 and signed by Abraham Lincoln, was a congressman from Vermont. Later on, other acts would be passed that would eventually abolish polygamy legally. But this is interesting because when the Morrill Act was passed by Abraham Lincoln, there was a stipulation that Lincoln had no intention of actually enforcing it. So it sounds like it was more of a political move than anything else, and it was more out of an agreement. If he wouldn't enforce it, as long as Utah wouldn't get involved in the Civil War. But no doubt, Brigham Young knew that the writing was on the wall, because here was an actual law in 1862 that was prohibiting plural marriage. Brigham Young goes on, "Why do we believe in and practice polygamy? Because the Lord introduced it to his servants in a revelation given to Joseph Smith, and the Lord's servants have always practiced it. And is that religion popular in heaven? It is the only popular religion there, for this is the religion of Abraham, and unless we do the works of Abraham, we are not Abraham's seed and heirs according to promise." Notice what he says there. He says that this is the religion that is popular in heaven. This has not been denied by even modern Latter-day Saints. If we look at Mormon Doctrine, for instance, by Bruce R. McConkie, the 1966 edition, page 578, McConkie writes, "Obviously, the holy practice will commence again after the second coming of the Son of Man and the ushering in of the millennium. So this is not a dead issue in Mormonism." So when you hear Mormon leaders say that polygamy or plural marriage is not a part of Mormon doctrine, they are not telling you the whole truth. What's interesting here, though, is that polygamy or plural marriage, we're given the impression by some that this was a well-accepted institution among even Latter-day Saints. But notice, though, if you listen very carefully to the sermons of the leaders during that time, it sounds like there was a lot of dissension in the Mormon Church about this. For instance, in that same volume, Volume 9, we have Brigham Young saying, "A few years ago, one of my wives, when talking about wives leaving their husbands, said, 'I wish my husband's wives would leave him, every soul of them except myself. That is the way they all feel, more or less, at times, both old and young.'"
And it only makes sense, because you've got all these women having to compete for the attention of one man. And we see that in current polygamy, with the polygamy that goes on in the splinter groups, that you have those issues. And on the outside, they might say, "Oh, it's really not that hard." But it really has to be, if you understand the dynamics between a man and a woman and having multiple women involved.
Well, we get another glimpse of this dissension in the 19th century Mormon Church when Brigham Young in 1868, in Volume 12, what does he say?
Yes, Brother Penrose said it would be better for them if they believed in the doctrine of polygamy. But they do believe it. They know it is true, and that is their torment. It perplexes and annoys many of them because they are not satisfied by the spirit of it. If they were, there would be no trouble.
And I think if a lot of the people that are pushing for polygamy now, and I'll tell you, with this whole issue about same-sex marriage, I don't know how, if same-sex marriage becomes the law of the land, that polygamy will be prohibited. I just don't see how they're going to
slippery
be able to
slope.
Do it. And so, if that be the case, why can't we learn from this history? If you go through the journal, you find this kind of language peppered throughout, that there was a lot of people who were not happy with this, and especially the women, of course, who were the brunt of it. But notice what Heber C. Kimball says in 1866. This was on April 4th, page 211 in Volume 11.
He said, I speak a plurality of wives as one of the most holy principles that God ever revealed to man, and all those who exercise an influence against it, unto whom it is taught, man or woman will be damned, and they and all who will be influenced by them will suffer the buffetings of Satan in the flesh. For the curse of God will be upon them, and poverty and distress and vexation of spirit will be their portion. While those who honor this and every sacred institution of heaven will shine forth as the stars in the firmament of heaven, and of the increase of their kingdom and glory there shall be no end. This will equally apply to Jew, Gentile, and Mormon, male and female, old and young.
So Heber C. Kimball's taking this pretty seriously,
isn't
he?
Sure he is. Absolutely.
In that same volume, we have Brigham Young also talking about this notion of perhaps giving up polygamy. What did he say on page 239 of the same volume?
Yeah, he said, we are told that if we would give up polygamy, which we know to be a doctrine revealed from heaven, and it is God and the world for it, but suppose this church should give up this holy order of marriage, then would the devil and all who were in league with him against the cause of God rejoice that they had prevailed against the saints to refuse to obey one of the revelations and commandments of God to them. And then he later says, will the Latter-day Saints do this? No, they will not, to please anybody. And then he finally says at the bottom of the page, we calculate to struggle on and continue to exercise faith and enjoy our religion, keeping all the commandments of God, observing the ordinances of his house, trying to fulfill all his words, trusting in him, and we shall see what this course will come to. They believe this was directly given to them by God, and this was part of being obedient. This was 19th century Mormonism.
Well, in 1869, we have in volume 13, page 166, Wilford Woodruff also saying that if you do away with polygamy, you might as well do away with the prophets, apostles, and revelations.
Yeah, he says it's only one feather in the bird, one ordinance in the church.
Okay, what's interesting about those three quotes that we just cited is they were all in the 1860s, post-Morrill Act. Mm-hmm. So they could be referring to members who were struggling with the doctrine of plural marriage, or it could be another threat or a little bit of bravado, if you will, against the United States government, for they know that eventually this is going to happen. Once the Civil War is over and attention is turned back to what's going on in the West, polygamy would then become an issue, and as we know from history, it did become an issue, and it was ultimately outlawed.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Have you ever wanted to go to the Holy Land? It's the place where Jesus walked, a place of great significance in our Bibles. In late February of 2013, Mormonism Research Ministry and Utah Lighthouse Ministry are hosting an 11-day trip to Israel. Among other places, we will experience baptism in the Jordan River, walk through Hezekiah's Tunnel, explore Masada, and float in the Dead Sea. During our trip, we plan to spend a day with Israeli resident Joel Kramer, a former Utah pastor and current film producer, who will take us to Cave One and Qumran and Jericho as well. In addition, a 7-day pre-extension tour to Turkey is available. Your price includes all transportation, admission fees, meals and taxes, and tips. If you've never been to the Holy Land, or even if you have, join Bill McKeever, Sandra Tanner, and several local Utah pastors for the trip of a lifetime. It all begins February 19th, 2013. Visit theapologeticstudybibletour.com for more information or call 602-788-8864.